then give attention primarily to verses 7 and 8 today. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. I want to submit to you this idea that occasional volunteering is not the mindset of a Jesus follower in a biblical church. Occasional volunteering is not the mindset of a biblical follower of Jesus, surrender to him, living in a biblical church. Yes, we use the word volunteer from time to time. We say things like that. Hey, praise God, we had over 30 volunteers for VBS. We, as a staff, sometimes count where we need volunteers. And, you know, we need at least 25 people every Sunday volunteering to make this Sunday service happen and all the things that go on with kids and greeters and everything else. But the word volunteer, especially a volunteer mindset, a volunteer who sort of comfortably steps in and out at their leisure, is not a biblical model of the church, what it means to be part of a church or of ministry. And I'm not here today to heap guilt on anybody. I'm here, though, to help all of us grow into our understanding of what the church is, what our part is in a biblical church. In today's message from our summer series, we're learning how each believer sees himself and does that which is personally and wholeheartedly fulfilling their own God-assigned function in the body. So it's not serving as if somehow I'm doing the church a favor by giving up my time now and then. Rather, it is I'm doing the very thing God has called me to do, equipped me to do, and as I surrender to Jesus, I do and live in connection to the body. So let's do a little bit of a setup of the biblical context here. Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. That's the image. In Christ, we are all together in a local church community as one body and individually members of one another. So we've been talking about the responsibilities relationally, what it means to be in Christ, etc., etc. And then this verse transitions to Romans 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith. The word for gift or ministry capacities, special ministry capacities, is here. Paul is asserting that every believer has one of these, which is consistent with the rest of the Bible. So this sort of lifts us to say, wow, I've got an important place in the body. I've got a function to perform in the body. And of course, every other person in the body does as well. So we're valuing them and their gifts, and we're seeing our gifts and putting those to use. The word gift is in some biblical passages combined with the word spiritual. We're going to define spiritual gifts today in more detail, but spiritual highlights, of course, that these gifts, these special ministry capacities, are given by the Holy Spirit, and so we function in alignment with the Spirit for the praise of Jesus in a right way when we're using those gifts. I said there's no such thing as a token, comfortable, volunteering, occasionally mindset in the life of a growing believer who's humbly surrendered to Jesus in a biblical community. Let me back that up a little bit with the illustration of the body. We've talked about the body. Think of this. Does your elbow decide occasionally to volunteer? Or does it do its job when called on? It does its function for the body, so we see ourselves like that elbow. Think of this. Your eyes don't say something like this to the rest of the body. Hey, guys, we're going to work when we want. We're going to take a little vacation now. We need a little time off. So, and the rest of the body doesn't say, hey, thanks, eyes. We really appreciate that now and again you give a few minutes of your personal eye time to volunteer to help the rest of us out. No, of course, each of the members of the body do their part when called on and appropriately, and that's what Paul's saying it's like in the body of Christ. If you're a believer in Jesus and you call a church your church home, then you have responsibilities in ministry. So I'm not putting something on you, say, hey, here's my long list for you. I'm telling you what Jesus has said for each of us. This is how we grow. This is how we help others grow. This is how we help the body to be all God wants it to be. This is how we're fully engaged in what God has for us. Not my agenda, the Lord's agenda, and we're all doing our part. So Paul's point in this text is use your God-given ministry capacities. Use them to serve others, to strengthen the body, to spread the gospel. Each one of us has those kind of responsibilities. And the emphasis here is it's a wonderful thing that we're different. Because we're all the same, and the body would be weak. But because we're different, this makes the body the beautiful, strong thing that the Lord has designed it to be. And so we value the gifts of others as well under Jesus. Like the eye or the elbow, we use what God has given us to be and to do, and we are together in one body. We are together in one body. Last week we talked about how I'm encouraging you to have sort of a new vision for the church. Not that one where we check a box and go in and look at the back of someone's head, but where we're connected together as one body. Today we're sort of raising a new vision for ministry. Not one where I choose occasionally, comfortably to volunteer to help out where it fits for me, but rather I enter in a healthy way, not being coerced, but to serve and to use my gifts as God has designed me to do. I want to say a couple of things here because I know for some people, and I'm looking at it, it's like, okay, this is going to land hard for some people. It's going to be like, oh, wow, he's going after me. Let me just say, if you're newer to Trinity, if you're newer to discipleship, hey, we can take this slow, okay? I'm not saying like you got to do this now. I'm saying grow, listen, hear the word, let God direct you. We're going to talk a little bit later about some of the things you can do to move forward, and I'm going to help you. This is going to be a very much an encouraging, equipping, moving you forward kind of message. But we're starting with the word first. The second is I want to speak to anybody who may be particularly hurting. And you're like, you know what? Maybe there was a time I served, but I don't know if I can do much right now. And I want to speak to that person from the standpoint of my right knee, if I could, okay? So you say, what's going on, Pastor Bruce? Well, some of you may know I recently had knee surgery. And so my right knee knows what it's like to be sort of out of commission for a while. And my right knee is very thankful to the rest of the body for stepping in for a while he was totally out of commission. But he's not staying totally out of commission. He's not saying, hey, I like this out of commission place and I want to stay there. So if you're hurting and sort of out of commission, realize that the rest of the body is here to help you, encourage you, help you to grow. God is working. And you're as you gain strength, like this right knee is, you're like, hey, I'm getting there, man. I want to get there, man. I want to serve and do my part. And no matter what your age is, your stage is, the challenge you face, I believe God has a ministry for every single believer. And so we're going to talk today about how to move forward in that and do so together as one body. Paul's writing to the church in Rome. We've told you he's not established it. He's not visited there before, but he's expounding the gospel, and then he's transitioning to living in light of the gospel. And Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, this focus of this series is how we live, serve, grow together in one body under Jesus. Let's come back to the principal verse that leads into this discussion of gifts, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And Paul's envisioning that church there in Rome, like a church like Trinity, living and functioning as a body where these individual gifts, these ways that we are different, serve to enhance the ministry and bless others and advance God's work. having gifts that differ. The word gifts, if you look at the actual Greek word, has the word grace in it. And so that word grace that's highlighted there in the next part of that verse reminds us not only are we saved by grace, praise the Lord for that, he gives us unmerited favor, but we serve by grace. Praise the Lord, he gives us that. And sadly, many people believe and think, and the mindset is, when I serve, I'm doing the church a favor. No, Jesus is the one who's bestowed favor on me. And that part of that favor is me being able to serve, to make a difference, to invest in the lives of others, to connect with others, and advance his work. Jesus has placed us, as we've been redeemed by the gospel, into a body where we serve and grow together. And one of the ways he flows that grace out upon us is in that we serve. Think of that. On 7:31, that was last week, we saw Paul uses this metaphor for the human body, of the human body for the church. And then we highlighted, and I hope if you didn't hear it, you go back and listen to it, how it's in Christ. All of this is in Christ. This is not, you know, some organizational thing that I schemed up or Trinity thing or whatever. This is in Christ. In Christ we have unity. In Christ we express unity. In Christ we live and grow and serve together in one body, given all the diversity of what we have by our backgrounds, education, et cetera, and et cetera. Jesus makes it all work. And Paul then flows from that chapter 12, verse 5, Jesus makes it all work. In Christ we have unity. Into today's verses 6, 7, and 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each believer receives this, and that's how God wants us to serve. We have gifts that differ. We differ. And that's just one of the many differences. We have different individuals, different ethnicities, different functions, and yet God makes it all work together under Jesus, and we're going to unpack this today. For your part, let's look at one body in Christ. Use your own spiritual gifts for ministry. That's our focus. We're going to talk about your faith, and we're going to talk about your function, and we're going to talk about your focus. Chapter 6b introduces one gift. It's a solo gift. We're going with the musical theme today. It's a solo gift, and it focuses on the idea of faith in using that gift. Then verses 7 through 8a, there's a trio of gifts. Three gifts are listed, and they're packaged similarly in the Greek. And that the focus there is the function of these gifts and of all gifts. And lastly, in verse 8b, there's the idea of focus. How do you do what you do? How do you keep doing it with joy and zeal? Because a lot of times people, hey, I'm serving, but man, I'm burnt out and I'm kind of sick of it. How do you keep going with joy and zeal? We're gonna feed that fire today and help you with that in verse 8b, the focus of your gifts. How all these different ministry capacities can help others build up the body and the Lord's work. Just a reminder, there are more than seven, even though there's only seven in this text. There are about 20 or so, and we're going to not only kind of work through these seven today, we're going to introduce a couple of tools. So some of you are like, man, Pastor Bruce, you've already almost lost me with all this stuff. And I've got a lot of stuff to tell you, so let me give you a little bit, kind of rest assured. There are two handouts in the center lobby that over years of study I prepared. One goes all the way back using some resources from C. Peter Wagner many, many years ago, which is a list of definitions of all the spiritual gifts in the Bible, and then some wording around some of the hot ones of people like, what about that, what about that? And then I offer examples of where each gift can be used in ministry at Trinity right now. You may say, hey, well, if I have this gift, does it do me any good? I'm telling you exactly ideas for where that gift can be used in one of those handouts. The other handout that's there in the center lobby is PowerPoint slides that come from the TCC, Equip TCC, that we did this May. And you may remember I did one on spiritual gifts. So there's a detailed definition and some other tools related to spiritual gifts, not just these seven, but a whole bunch of them. So we're going to just kind of quickly move into a definition of spiritual gifts based on what the Bible says about it. You can see the handouts for more. A spiritual gift is what? What is this anyway? Well, it is a Holy Spirit-given special capacity for ministry given to each true believer for serving in God's work and building up the body. There's a list of scriptures there that point to those truths. So you have one of these. You may not know what it is. You may have more than one, but you definitely have at least one. And the purpose isn't to say, hey, look at me and my gift. The purpose is to use the gifts for serving God's work and building up the body. Let's clarify from the next slide, just a quick reminder, and this is all more detail in those handouts. How are spiritual gifts different from other things? How is a spiritual gift different from a general gift? Like God gives me family and experiences. Well, those are general. This is specifically related to ministry capacity for serving in God's work. Gifts are different from talents. Talents are more naturally God-given. Spiritual gifts are more supernaturally God-given. Only believers have spiritual gifts. How are gifts different from the fruit of the Spirit? This is very important. The fruit of the Spirit are character qualities in which all believers grow in as they mature. So if somebody says, I don't have the gift of patience, not true. You don't have the character quality of patience, and that is a function of your spiritual growth and maturity. So don't be using the fruit as a gift. No, gifts are special capacities given to every believer, and there's no spiritual hierarchy here necessarily. You have it, use it. But fruit of the Spirit, all of us should be growing in as we yield our lives to Jesus. That list in Galatians chapter 5. Spiritual gifts are different than family responsibilities. Think of it at home. Somebody has to load the dishwasher, take out the trash, probably make the bed, right? Now, it wouldn't fly very well if you said, that's not my gift, right? Because you're in the family, you need to do this stuff. We all have roles to do as a part of the family. Some of the stuff in church is kind of like that. You may not think it's my passion, it's not my gift, but I want to help, I want to do my part. We all want to do our part. Furthermore, there are biblical commands. Almost every one of these gifts has a command for something all believers should do. Take, for example, giving. We're going to talk today about giving is a spiritual gift. Some people are really good at it, but everybody should give. Take, for example, encouragement. Some people are really good at it, but we all should encourage. Take, for example, teaching. Some people are really good at it, but in some measure, all of us should teach. People that we have influence over and family members, et cetera, right? So we need to fulfill our family responsibilities, but we have been given by God special capacities, and Paul's talking about those today. And let's look first at the solo gift and the issue of faith in the use of gifts. Some believers have the spiritual gift of prophecy. We're going to define this today, and it's there in more detail in the handout. But the point of this, as Paul's moving into chapter 12, verse 6, is to use your gift. And use your gift consistent with the faith you really have. Don't be acting like you got more than you have. You know, that, hey, I'm the, hey, let me just like make fake it. Like, I really am not this way spiritually, but I'm going to pretend, right? Paul's cautioning against that kind of mindset. Or don't say, oh, it's just me, I can't do anything. Paul, I believe by implication, is cautioning against that mindset too. Use prophecy and use any gift for that matter consistent with your faith, where you're really at right now. And if you're a believer, you do have faith, but you may not have the kind of faith where you can just say, hey, the Lord told me and you shall all do that. It's like, well, is that really God? It may be way, way beyond the level of faith and the reality of that faith. Now, let's look at that. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. a gift of prophecy is not foretelling as much as forthtelling, the biblical context. It's an emphasis on a message from God, which was especially big before the New Testament was written. And so prophecy, we would define as a spirit-given special capacity to speak God's message with the sense of immediacy and power. And in the handout, do we have that slide, Steve? The prophecy, there we go. In the handout, I highlight that I believe we should have a biblical priority approach to messages from God. The Bible is how we really know objectively the message from God. And even Romans 12:2, think of that. Paul's introducing prophecy in just a few verses earlier. He'd say, we're going to test and discern God's will in the context of surrender to Jesus and our minds being transformed as we submit to God's word. So the solution, we don't know what to do, is not, hey, I need to go get a prophetic message. The solution is submit to God's word and grow in Jesus. But that doesn't mean there is not such thing as a gift of prophecy. A special capacity was especially apparent in the early church, but I would argue is still in some manner, as long as it's submitted to Scripture, appropriate today. Now, Paul says something about prophecy that he doesn't say about any other gift. And that, he says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. And it would be really, really handy if Paul meant by in proportion to our faith, the standard of our faith, because that would be saying what I've already supported from these other verses, that the messages need to be tested by what is objectively true, the standard of our faith. The problem is, in the context, that doesn't seem to fit. Because in the context, the idea of proportion to our faith is the personal measure of faith one has currently. Just the previous three verses earlier, we saw this. But think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So this is not the standard of faith, but is the amount of faith one has for serving now. Don't act like you got more than you do, and don't act like you don't have any. And Paul, why is he cautioning this around prophecy? Because there in the early church context, prophecy was right up there just behind apostle in terms of the church. Hey, what should we do next? And he's cautioning against those that would say, hey, I got a message for you from God. It's like, well, wait a second. Is that really from God, or are you just making that up and that's what you want? So exercise prophecy and all gifts, for that matter, in proportion to the real faith you really have right now. That's Paul's point. It connects to humility, and it connects to not presuming of yourself something that isn't something God has given you to do, but not devaluing what God has given you on the other hand either. Exercise it in proportion to your own faith right now. That's the gift of prophecy, emphasizing faith. It's a solo gift. And now we're going to talk about function. The next trio of gifts is built around this idea of using the gifts you have. The gift of service, the gift of teaching, the gift of encouragement. The emphasis here is use the gift you have. Now, that may seem like, well, of course I should use the gift you have. But many times people don't. And it's not just for you. It's to be encouraging others to use the gift they have, praying for others to use the gift they have, in the body, modeling helping others to grow into using the gifts they have. We don't want to just say, oh, I got the gift. We want to use the gift we have. We want to be a body that helps others to use the gift they have. This is what a healthy body is. People with different gifts using the gifts they have all together in Christ. Yes, you have responsibilities. You have family responsibilities in the church. You have things that Jesus told you to do and all of us to do. You have things you need to do at home and job responsibilities and plans, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, the body has needs. We'll, if you want to ask us, we'll roll out the needs for you, okay? And we're gonna try to connect you to these, but we don't want to pigeonhole you around. You have to do these. We want you to mainly use the gift you have. So you have family responsibilities in the body of Christ. You have personal responsibilities. We are going to tell you about needs that we have. Some of those maybe you need to do just because, hey, you need help. Okay, great. I'll jump in. But the main thing we should mainly do, all of us, and that we should foster for the community is to help others to use the gifts they have, and we should use the gifts we have. I believe that's all Paul's point here. And the strong focus of all of this is humility. I'm going to tell you why in just a second, but let's dive into the definition of each of these. If service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation. The word service in the Greek, diakonia, is used in a variety of ways, but here it's of this special capacity of ministry, of serving. Teaching is used in 1 Corinthians 12, it's used in Ephesians 4. We'll talk more about the definition. Encouragement is used in many translations. Here, the ESV uses exhorts. And we'll talk about what the gift of encouragement is. Let's move to definitions. Again, more details on the slide or on the handouts. Service. Some people have a special capacity to help, to effectively and joyfully accomplish tasks which need to be done in the church and for the ministry. Hey, I can help with that. I'd like to help with that. Whether it's kids ministry, facility ministry, behind the scenes ministry, financial ministry, mission, I just like to help. And some have a great capacity given by God to do this. And that may be you. So then figure out where that gift of service fits and how it can help the body, how it can minister others. Some have the gift of teaching. Paul's saying if you have this gift, use it in teaching. It's a special capacity given by the Spirit to help others understand God's word and apply it to their lives. With prophecy, it's more the immediacy of like, this is it. With teaching, it's like the Bible says. And of course, that's objective. And it's very important to the health and ministry of the body and to people's discipleship. And then some have the gift of encouragement. The Spirit given special capacity to provide comfort, consolation, exhortation to others so they are built up and pointed to Christ. Whereas teaching sort of says, the Bible says, encouragement says, hey, let me help you. I'm applying this in a way that it encourages, ministers to the person. And particularly if they're in a difficult spot, yeah, encouragement is what they need. And some are especially good at that. And that can apply with kids, it can apply with youth, it can apply with people in difficult situations, it can apply with older people, it can apply with those in needing discipleship. Encouragement is wonderful in a variety of contexts of people who have that special ministry capacity. So what's the focus then? Don't envy what you don't have. Don't be saying, hey, man, I really wish I had that gift, or so-and-so is really good at this, man, and blah, blah, blah. No, use what you do have. Don't be so busy doing things that you don't use your gift. Whether that's life in general, I ain't got no time for ministry. Well, then something wrong with your life in general. Or so many things on the church. Hey, we're doing this, that, the other thing, da da da, we're making lists, da da da. Don't get so into that that you don't use your ministry gifts. The body needs you to be using your gifts to serve others, to benefit the body and to see God's work go forward. And brothers and sisters, God has given to this community of believers, and every community of believers for that matter, the gifts that it needs for its ministry. What we got to do is help people to grow, to realize what they are, and to use them as God intended. There are many concrete kinds of ministry here at Trinity. And also there are informal ministries that are not on the Trinity sheet, right? Here's an informal ministry. If you get to part of a small group this fall and you're there and somebody says, hey, I got a need with this, right? You don't need to call me or the office and say, hey, can we do blah, blah, blah? Trinity needs to. No, just minister. whether that's encouragement, teaching, serving, right? Just go for it. That's you as a part of the body. You see somebody's got a need, step in. You see your gifts can help, let them help. Now, there are formal ministries we've got where we have needs, whether it's serving in nursery, TCC Kids, Inside Out. You know, these small groups, Sunday morning takes 25 people, and many of these are rotations, so we're probably talking like close to 60 people to do Sunday morning ministry here at Trinity. We've got lots of ways you can help. You can go help in other ways that extend the ministry body beyond this. But let me just suggest some ways you might move forward. If you're like, man, I don't know where to start, Pastor Bruce. Well, here's number one, pray. Say, Lord, help me to know where I can serve. Help me to recognize and learn more about my special ministry capacities so that I can serve. Number two is get the sheets. If you're serious about moving forward here, go take those and compare those to the scriptures. And number three is look at specific ways you can serve. And one of the sheets talks about that. Number four would be let us know how we can help. Now, at the end of this message, we're going to say if you want to learn more about using your gifts, identifying what your gifts are, where can I start if I'm newer or don't even know where to begin, let us know and we're going to help you figure out, identify your gifts and move forward. The last thing I want to say is this. If you want to know, start serving. Let me give you an analogy. If you have a sailboat and you're sitting on a lake and there's no wind, how much can the sailboat steer? Absolutely zero. It's worthless. You're not going to be led and steered in what God has for you in ministry if you're not beginning to serve in ministry. So if you're sitting like, Lord, lead me, and you're not acting, you're not getting in a group, you're not looking for how you can serve, you're not saying, hey, I'm going to try this, and just when you start to get in and connect and grow and serve, God does lead you. He shows you something as you're moving. He directs you as you're active. You're steered because you're going somewhere. Let's talk next about focus. This is really big because oftentimes when people are not serving, sometimes it's because they're newer and not discipled and they don't know where to start, and we want to help answer that. But sometimes it's like, man, I'm done. I'm spent. I can't do this anymore. And I want to suggest that could come from a place that this point directs. It's the focus. What's your focus? And Paul packages a trio of gifts, which includes giving, leadership, and mercy. We'll talk about these. But here the emphasis is not so much on using, but the emphasis is on how you use. And you use the gifts in a way of focus on the Lord, with gratitude to the Lord, in honor of the Lord, being directed by the Lord. You have your eyes on Jesus and what he's done for you, his marvelous mercy and grace. And that gives you focus. That moves you forward. And that applies not just to these three, it applies to all gifts. We're going to see that. And that's really how Paul has framed this in the context of that, the mercy of God, the surrender of the whole self to Jesus, the transforming of the mind, the humility that we grow in, the connection to the body, and now serving in a way of focus. Let's look at the trio of gifts there. The one who contributes, many translations say gives. Giving, again, differs from the command for all believers to give, but it's a special capacity to give. Leadership is the word used here. The idea is elsewhere in the New Testament, the one who leads with zeal and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. All of us should be showing mercy, but God gives some a special capacity for it. Let's define these three. And again, you can get more from the handouts. Giving is a spirit-given special capacity to provide materially for the Lord's work and others with generosity and joy. Some have this special gift. And leadership, the Spirit-given special capacity to sense God's goals for the body or a ministry area of the body, and to guide in fulfillment of these so the body works effectively and harmoniously. Some have that gift. And mercy, the special capacity given by the Spirit to feel compassion for the needs of others and take action to alleviate or minimize their suffering through deeds of Christ-like love. But Paul here is focusing heavily on how one uses this gift. I believe it applies to all gifts. The emphasis in this trio is focus. Look with me at it. The one who contributes in or with generosity. It gets at the heart. It's not just, hey, I can do this. It's, I'm glad I can do this. I'm excited to do this. The one who leads with zeal. It's not just that I'm doing it, it's that I keep doing it. And I'm in some manner excited to do this. And the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Again, it's not just that I'm doing mercy, but I'm enjoying it. I'm praising God as I do it. Now, why Paul stresses generosity in particular with giving is I think perhaps that one who gives a lot might say, hey, I've given a lot. Isn't it time somebody else gives? But of course, the heart of the gift of giving, when we're exercising it with this focus, is, hey, I'm happy to keep going and to be generous once again because God has been generous with me. And why Paul might use zeal with leading, some have conjectured, you know, if you're at the top, maybe no one's really going to know if you're not all that zealous. If you're under somebody, they are. But Paul's saying, you know what? Even if you're the leader, do it wholeheartedly all the time. Don't let your zeal flag. And what about mercy? I can imagine those that are doing concrete acts of care for those who have great needs might at some point just say, oh man, I can't do this anymore. And yet Paul says, no, do it with cheerfulness. Remember the grace of Jesus to you and draw on that grace to keep doing it with joy. You know, when I think about these qualities, these focused qualities, I'm reminded of an experience this week I had with three grandsons as I was standing beside the trampoline. And their zeal and their joy is the kind of thing we need to match, because here's what happened. One by one, in fact, all of them at the same time said, Poppy, watch my flip. And so Poppy, watch my flip. And never mind that only the oldest one can actually do a flip, but the others were trying, Poppy, watch my flip. Again and again and again and again and again and again and again, I had to walk away. It's like, Poppy, watch my flip, watch my flip, watch my flip. The heart of this one who serves with focus is, Lord Jesus, thank you that I can serve you. I'm just so joyful I can do this. Let me do it. And of course, that's taking in his great mercy to us and acknowledging that. That moves us forward in generosity and in zeal and in cheerfulness, whatever the gift is, whatever we're called to do. So how do you get that back if you've had it and lost it? Or how do you get it if you have never had it? Let me suggest three things. First is to be aware. If you're kind of serving, like even like now you're saying, oh man, now Pastor Bruce is telling me one more thing I got to do and I can't, you're like, okay, wait, heart check. Admit there's something off. Admit it. And then go to the Lord and ask him, Lord, restore that joy and zeal and a sense of generosity or whatever it is in me. Help me to move forward in that, to grow in that. Of course, this was written to believers, real people like us, who needed this exhortation. So let it be kind of a reset for you. Lord, reset my heart here as I grow and serve. And then finally, I would suggest probably the most important is adore Jesus. If you have your eyes on him, what he's done for you, his grace to you, his working, you're going to be that surrendered life. Lord, direct me. Let me honor you. Use me however you would choose to. You're not looking at sort of like, ministry, I got to do some stuff to kind of volunteer and check that box, but rather it's a life of surrender and letting the Lord direct your steps. So how do we respond to this? First, you got to start with believing. Believe in Jesus. If you're here and you've not personally received Christ as Savior, we want to help you understand the gospel, receive the gospel, and grow in the gospel. And one step, once you've understood and received it, is to publicly profess your faith in Christ in believer baptism. Some here maybe need to take the step of believing. Some have taken the step of believing and need to take the step of publicly confessing Christ in believer baptism. And we've got a baptism service on the calendar, so if you want to take that step because you believe, as a testimony of that surrender to Him, we want to help you take that step. So see me on that. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, Romans 1:16. You must personally turn to Him and believe. And that puts you into His body when you do believe. We are members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, Ephesians 3, verse 6. That's where we start. Then some of you need to stretch. And stretch by getting involved in a ministry or pursuing the information of what it means to have spiritual gifts and how I can use these to serve. So we want to offer this to you. And Eric, whose official title is Overseer for Training, is kind of going to be the point guy of this. Anna and I will come alongside him and help as it fits with helping you to assess your spiritual gifts. We can give you some tools that can guide you in that. We can talk about ways that you can serve, like maybe on-ramp, the fit for you at Trinity. What are some needs we have? So I want to suggest, if you're like, man, I need some help to get started here, text SERVE to that number, 781-242-5253. We'll get back to you with spiritual gifts assessments or ministry opportunity ideas, or just talk to you about, hey, what's next for you if you want to move forward in using your own gift for ministry. Let's look at that verse once again. Let us use them. That's the strong implication of the verse. Each one has a ministry connected to the body as an expression of our surrender to Jesus, living in humility, acknowledging the blessing and the connection with others. Use your gifts. We can help you assess your gifts and know where they can be used. 781-242-5253. Text SERVE and we'll help you out. Let's look at a final piece. I think all of us need to come back to this, a surrender to the Savior. Paul uses this metaphor of the human body. We're all members in it. And then he says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. It's in Christ we have this. Christ secures it. Christ builds it. In Christ we grow. In Christ we minister. In Christ we have what we need. In Christ we can have that focus. In Christ we serve. In Christ the body is what God wants it to be. So do it all in Christ. And of course this comes in the context of Romans chapter 12 verse 1, which is the whole life surrender to the Lord because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I'm going to invite Jim and the team to come up right now. And we've sort of fashioned a little different closing than sometimes we do. We're going to sing right now. And we're not going to sing at the end. We're going to sing now, and then we're going to do communion at the end. And the reason why is because we want to very kind of consciously, concretely, individually and together, surrender to Christ as it relates to ministry, together in one body. We are being called by God to step out on some uncharted, maybe scary waters for some of us. What are you talking about, Pastor Bruce? This is different than just church where I go and leave. Yes, it is. But remember, as we surrender to Jesus and look to Him, He's going to give us the grace, guidance, wisdom, and strength to do what He wants us to do. And the team is going to lead us in that right now. Let me just ask all of us to stand. I'm going to say a prayer, and let's let the song be sort of our prayer of that surrender, stepping out on the waters, letting Jesus direct us individually and together. Lord Jesus, you have given us abundant mercy and grace, and so we want to be wholeheartedly surrendered to you individually and as a church. We need your help, Lord. We need your guidance. We need your strength. So we trust in you. We depend on you. We look to you. We draw from you to serve together in one body for your honor and glory. We praise you. We pray in your name. Let's trust him together. Let's sing and praise.
May fail and never find.
seated. The Lord's Supper is a celebration that in Christ we have received abundant mercy and grace. This is a sacred time, and we invite all who have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to partake with us as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, so that this mercy and grace has flowed to you as you step out and continue to live and serve. We here at Trinity want to make clear that personal faith is an essential requirement, and yet that all who have personal faith are welcome to partake, even if you're not a part of this particular church community. The Bible tells us that as Jesus instituted this, he told his disciples there, after he had given thanks, "This is my body, which is for you." Can we just pause and give thanks in prayer and then partake of the bread and the cup together? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge the wonderful blessings that flow from your finished work on the cross, forgiveness, peace with God, no condemnation, that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we count among those blessings you have placed us in a body to serve you, to grow together, to advance your work. Lord Jesus, help us to recognize not only your body given for us on the cross, but the body that you have placed us in, where we can serve and grow together as we partake, as we celebrate, as we worship. Lord Jesus, grow us, guide us, help us to glorify you with thanks and joy and great zeal, because you gave yourself for us. Amen. I invite you to take the bread. I'm having a hard time getting mine. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me." Let's take the cup together as well. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The Bible says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's be about proclaiming together in one body. Let's stand together as we close. Lord God, thank you for this chance to worship together. Help us as we continue to serve, connect, and grow together, Lord, together in one body. Thank you that Jesus has brought all this through his giving himself for us. And thank you, God, for the working of his Spirit. So grow us, guide us, direct us, Lord, we pray. And we want to honor you in everything. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Have a great day. God bless.